Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Delighted to have you with us again by radio. And we hope that the program is a blessing to all. I'm turning in our Bibles today to 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you have a Bible available and can turn with me, please turn there. And we're turning 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to be speaking today on the subject of godliness. Now notice with me as we come to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 1. We find here in the Holy Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessings today upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Father, we pray today in Jesus' name and by the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, that we pray for that soul that is nearest hell. We pray for that you bring them to salvation in Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray today also for the saints of God that are listening, that they might be edified in the faith. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, before we get into our text and actually look at it, I want to make mention of some resources that are available. You can find us on the web at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info. I-N-F-O. You can also find us at sermonaudio.com. Now, if you go to sermonaudio.com, you would need to go to the sidebar and go to the section titled Speakers and then type in my name, which is Robert Reed, and that would carry you to our home page. But if you go to biblicaltruth.info, that is our personal website, and that will put you exactly where you need to be. Either one of these websites are good, but anyway, we just like to give those to you. And if you go to Sermon Audio, there's many other sermons, many other preachers, and it's a great website, but you will have to go to the sidebar to find us. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, you're automatically on our web page. And so, again, the reason I give those two sites is that we have hundreds, literally hundreds, of sermons and articles, and most of the sermons are full-length sermons that have been preached in our church. Well, let us get into the text here today, and notice with me again, let me read the first two verses. We find here in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The title of our message today is Godliness, Living in an Ungodly World. Now, what I want to do is give you a definition, first of all, of the word godliness. And we find that it basically means to be God-like. We who have been born again, we who are Christians, we have been called upon to be God-like. In other words, to be devout, to be well-pleasing to God, Godliness is the occupation with God. In other words, it's a heart for God. And it denotes that piety, which is characterized by a Godward attitude. And we have all through the Scriptures that once a person becomes a Christian, we have all through the Holy Scriptures that God gives us guidelines whereby we can live according to His Word and that we might walk before Him in godliness. Other places that we would find this word or similar words would be like in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, and we find that the qualities of God's nature is purity, holiness, and love. And so we find that if we're going to be like God, since we have been born again and we're a child of God, we become a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through His accomplishments at Calvary, through His shed blood on the cross. We're born again by faith in Christ and by the Spirit of God and hearing the gospel and believing the gospel. So once we become a Christian, the Lord would have us to walk in God likeness. In other words, that we would follow Him in truth and in righteousness. We find this thought that's given to us again in many other places, but here in 1 Timothy, reading again in especially chapter 2 and in verse 2, notice as we come back here, that we, verse 1 is speaking of prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks. And then in verse 2, he speaks, and for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. The Lord would have us as Christians, as we live in society, to walk in godliness and honesty. And this is the prayer of the apostle here in this text, and he's writing to Timothy, which was a pastor, a minister, and he's giving him the things that he should preach and bring before the saints of God. And so very clearly, we see that in the Scripture that we are to live godly. Now, not only that, notice with me in verse 8 and 9, he not only speaks to the men in this passage, and he really addresses the men in particular, not only in verse 1 and 2, but in verse 8, he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So he speaks directly to the men of the church in verse 8. In other words, God would have every man, as he would pray, lifting up holy hands. Now think about the statement here, lifting up holy hands without wrath, that is without anger, and without doubting, that is without unbelief. And so God tells us in His Word how to live a holy life. He defines holiness, and He defines godliness, in other words, to be God-like, and then He tells us how that we're to do that and why that we're to do that as well. But He also speaks to the women who have been born again in verse 9 and 10, and He says this, He said, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So again, we see here in our text, speaking to the saints of God, speaking to the church, speaking to the men and the women who are in the church, who have been born again. He says very clearly in these passages that men are to lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. There's a whole sermon in verse 8, or probably many sermons, but God is speaking to the men. And then God addresses the women who are Christians in verse 9 and in verse 10. And when he addresses the women here, he speaks of modest apparel, shamefacedness, sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And again, there's several thoughts that we could draw from this particular passage. But again, we see in the scriptures the qualities of God's nature. If we want to know what it means to be godly, we need to know something about God. We see the holiness of God and many other the attributes of God. But the quality of God's nature, as I just read or mentioned a moment ago in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, is purity, holiness, and love. Those are three things that we see associated with the nature of God. Now, in the book of Titus, we read in Titus chapter 1, the Apostle Paul again addressing a minister, Titus. These are referred to as pastoral epistles. Here's what he said. He said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. This is a word that we will keep seeing throughout the Holy Scripture. Now, coming back to 1 Timothy, this time I'm turning to chapter 6, and just notice with me as I read from verse 3. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, he said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the doctrine which is according to godliness, notice that. He speaks of doctrine which is according to godliness, but he also says in verse 5, he speaks of perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. There's that word again the second time. And then we find it again in verse 6. He says in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And then we would find the word again in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So again, we see clearly the nature of God, the qualities of God, and we are to be God-like. We would see this again in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 16, and also the surrounding text, verses 15 through 18, and we would see the opposite of godliness that is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, which has to do with the disobedience of the unrighteous. And then we have the text speaking of God and the Lord Jesus in 1 Timothy 3:16, that godliness is indeed manifest in the flesh when it mentions the mystery of godliness. We're also told in 1 Timothy chapter 6, again, there's to be contentment with godliness, and we also find that there's persecution of the godly. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. So there's companion words that are associated with godliness. Now again, as we think about this, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we see here that this age that we live in, as this age even would come to its conclusion, that there will be ungodliness. He gives a catalog of wickedness. I'm reading from 2 Timothy 3. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now listen to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I'll stop reading there. We find that in this text here, again, we have a catalog of wickedness. And we find that those who rebel against the truth, some of them have a form of godliness, that is godlikeness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The power that they deny is the gospel itself. So we see clearly the definition of godliness that is given to us in the scripture. Now I'm reading back in the book of Titus again, but this time we're going to chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 11 through 12. Now notice this as I begin reading in Titus 2 and in verse 11 through 12. I want to speak to you now about the importance of godliness. You see, when we talk about godliness, we're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about adding works to salvation. We're talking about as a Christian, as a believer, that we are to maintain good works, as Titus 3:8, and we're talking about the doctrine of biblical separation, and it has fallen by the wayside in many churches today. You see, Christ not only died for our sins, but Christ died to purify us as to become sacred unto Himself. Notice this. He said in verse 11 of Titus 2, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Notice this now. What does the grace of God do? Well, first of all, the grace of God saves us. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. But the grace of God that saves us, that has appeared to all men, it also teaches me something. It teaches me how to live godly. He said in verse 12, he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The Apostle Paul is telling Titus as a young minister to preach the word. He says, speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In other words, let no man stop you from preaching the truth of God's word. But we find here that in verse 14, we see in verse 14 that Christ died to purify us as sacred unto Himself. He said, verse 14, who gave Himself for us, notice, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And again, this thought and these principles are given to us, really, throughout the Holy Scripture. We would find again that in 1 Peter 2, verses 5 through 12, we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. When we think of a priest and in the Old Testament, it's a very sacred position. Well, all Christians are priests and kings in the sense that they are part of God's church. And as we look at this, we are called to be holy, and we're called to be godly. In other words, there should be a difference in our life from the world. As a matter of fact, in Second Peter, we find that in chapter 1, after describing our salvation, 2 Peter chapter 1, after describing our salvation in verse 3 and 4, and here's what he said. He says, this is God's word. Now he said, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now there's that word again. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice he's speaking of our salvation in Christ. We have been given a divine nature. We have been given promises. But notice the next few verses. Once someone becomes a Christian. Again, Titus chapter 3, I'm going to make that mention of that verse again. Titus 3 verse 8, he clearly says to Titus, he said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Those who are Christians, they are to maintain good works, they are to live holy, and they are to live godly. Notice again, 2 Peter, after describing what we have in Christ, through His blood, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a divine nature within. Here's what he says, beginning in verse 5. And he said, "And beside this, giving all diligence," in other words, make it your business, he said, "add to your faith." He didn't say add to your salvation. You can't add one bit unto your salvation. But he said, add to your faith. Now, here's the things that we are to add to our faith as a Christian as we walk in this world and live for God. Here's some things that we're to add. He says, add to your faith, number one, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. Verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. Verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly love. And to brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now think about this. These are seven things that we as believers are to add to our faith in this Christian life. And he goes on to say in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, that is increase, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, listen now, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Amazing statement. So in the Old and New Testament, we find that those who believe, those who profess God as their Savior, they are to be God-like. They are to have godliness in their Christian life. From the calling of Abraham, of the Jewish nation, ancient Israel in the Old Testament, they were to be separated from all the other nations. They were to be different. While they were to be different in their business transactions, in their sacrifices, their music, their worship, their dress, many ways that they were to be different. Well, again, as we come to the book of Jude, and I want to close here in the book of Jude, but I could give you many other verses, such as Acts 11:26 and the surrounding text, and also 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 9. We see the blessings of godliness, the blessings of godliness, but we see the curse of ungodliness. I'm going to be closing in the book of Jude, that's right before the book of Revelation, and I'm going to close with verse 14 and in verse 15. I want to remind you that if you have never been saved, trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Clearly we can be saved. And it's through the blood of Christ, through His sacrifice, through His death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is important that we turn to the Lord and trust Him and repent of our sins and put our faith clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ. But once we become a Christian, we are to walk in the Lord. Now let me just say this before I read these last two verses. Romans 8:18-32, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 5:6, Christ died for the ungodly. And then in Psalms 1:6, the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that's what we find here in the book of Jude. Verse 14 and 15, he said, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly. Notice that word. He mentions it several times. And to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We're speaking today on godliness. First of all, we must be saved by the grace of God. We must be born again before that we can walk in godliness. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never been saved, to trust the Lord as your Savior. Turn unto Him in repentance and faith, as in Acts 20:21. And God has promised in His holy word that He would save you. But now, you that are saved, you that are Christians, I want to leave this with you, is that we have been told by God, this is a command that we are to be godly. We are to be godlike. We are to follow our Heavenly Father, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Redeemer. We are to be godly. We are to be godlike, Christlike. We are to not only trust Him as our Savior, but we are to follow Him and just walk in righteousness, walk in holiness, and the only way we can do that is by adhering to the commands that God has given to us in His Word. Well, our time is just about come and gone again. We're so thankful for the opportunity to be able to speak to you by radio. And if the radio program's been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've been saved through the program. We'd love to be able to rejoice with you. Maybe you've been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. Again, we would appreciate hearing from you. It would encourage not only myself and also the church as well. But let me leave this with you as we close. If you're not saved, let this be the day that you're born again, that you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians, those of you listening to my voice that are Christians, I beg of you to look into His Word and see what God has for you. God wants us to walk in His truth and in His righteousness and godliness. Well, thank you for listening. Until next time, may God richly bless.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrass Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrass Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.